Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Adam. Before we start,
yeah.
I ran into this girl that used to date you, and she said you were really hot.
Wait, when was this? Are you just trying to make me feel good before the show?
Whatever.
That was my favorite.
Now I'm rattled. Who is she? Happened. Does she still like me? I have to know.
Your turn.
So good. So good.
Adam?
Oh, my God.
Adam, I think you're really hot. I do. Good luck, Adam.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, headaches. The World Health Organization reports that half the world's adult population suffered from a serious headache in this past year. Now that Trump is out of office, that number may go down, but still, headaches are nothing to laugh about. Except, wait, we're a comedy show, that's a problem. See, even thinking about headaches is giving me a headache. With us tonight is Dr. Stephanie Nahas, director of the Headache Medicine Fellowship Program at Thomas Jefferson University. Don't take two aspirin and call her in the morning. Let's talk with this headache specialist right now and find out how to deal with that pain in the brain. Plus, mailbag. Personal hygiene edition. Bonnie's showering with the mystery man. She's making guacamole in the back seat. Our listeners have suggestions for cleaning this show up. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep this show's conversational trigeminal nerve flowing smoothly so that it doesn't swell with excessive digressions and ultimately give our listeners topical headaches. And now, please welcome the woman whose conversational synapses always blow the circuitry, Paula Poundstone!
Hey, you guys! So
welcome,
nice
Paula.
To be with you. Thank you very much. And thanks to tonight's house band, my oldest friend in the world, nobody, Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Jim Ross is back.
Actually, he's known as James Ross because he's a maestro. And it sounds fantastic, Jim James. And thank you so much for doing it.
A maestro now, but back in the day, he was the guy who would help you bag up your Monopoly game, right?
Bag up my Monopoly game? No.
Wasn't he your friend who, like, you'd have to pause your Monopoly game so you'd put everything in little bags?
No, that was my neighbor, Foster Stroop. No,
oh, sorry.
Jim and I used to, we've really known each other for such a long time. Every now and then I would challenge him to a fight. And one time I challenged him to a fight, and he was going to use we had metal trash cans, and he was going to use the trash can lids for a shield. And so I started to cry and ran home. I just
good story.
I was sensitive. I was very sensitive.
All right. So, Paula, are you ready for the book club?
Oh, I am. Are we going to use?
Right, well,
are we going to use Bob? What was it? Bob's rules again? What was that?
Robert's Rules of Order. If you've studied Robert's Rules of Order, let's try to abide by them to the best of our ability. I want to say that because we don't always get to the. Yes.
Bob's rules. Bob's rules. I want you to
Bob's
know
rules.
Bob
I'll,
is not
I'll
the boss
the meeting
of me.
I'll call the meeting to order in just a second. I just want to say this week we were tasked with reading chapters 29 through 34. And for those of you out there who were worried that this story was going to be a little slow, well, guess what? In those five chapters, we met the captain.
Woo!
And they had dinner. Well, six people had dinner. And that's it.
Well,
and with that, let's call this meeting of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone Book Club to order.
President Sushi. President Sushi, may I be recognized by the chair?
Did you just call me President Sous Vide or something?
No, I called you President Sushi because last week you were President Tempura.
Yeah, he's Pro Tempura.
No, I was President Pro Tem, Bonnie. We haven't even introduced you yet, and you're already confusing me. Ladies and gentlemen, from up there in the Simi Valley, this is Bonnie Burns. But let's start with old business. Is there any old business? Order.
Yeah, there's. What are you kidding me? Is there old business? Vandekamp's beans. There's an old business.
Yeah, but. God's sake.
Been around forever, I'm telling you.
I mean, old business. Paula, do you have any report from the Treasury?
We are in the red.
Okay. What did you spend our money on?
Well, of course, I've been planning that trip to landlocked states for the book club as we're reading Moby Dick. A lot of landlocked states have contacted me wanting us to come there and share with them the bounty of Moby Dick. Because they don't know what it's like to look out across the high seas. They don't know from crow's nests or whatever it was they perched themselves on. So, yeah. So I've been planning that trip. And, of course, that's really put us further in the red.
Yeah. I mean, I would wonder whether that is an appropriate use of book club funds for you to book trips around the country.
Tennessee.
feels a little sketchy.
They begged me.
Yeah, but they begging you doesn't mean that you get to just run off and buy tickets on our dime.
Well, it's too late now.
Okay.
Knoxville, Knoxville, ahoy!
Okay, Bonnie Burns in the Simi Valley, do you have any old business? And do you want to, and by the way, I will entertain any comments about the chapters 29 to 34 of Moby Dick.
Okay. President Sushi, I'm really glad you called on me because I really enjoyed these chapters. Once again, I was so impressed with Melville's writing. I wanted to ask the other members of the club, is anybody getting the correlation between Ahab and Trump and this business of there's a place in these chapters where Melville writes, it's something about Ishmael saying, there was the brains and the muscle, meaning that the white guys on the ship were like the ones that were in charge and calling the shots. And then the other people were like of color. They weren't as well educated and they were doing all the work. And I couldn't help but think about, you know, kind of how like Trump found this group of people he thought were susceptible, maybe not as well educated, to buying into his stuff that had him in charge. They did everything he wanted. Ahab, the crew did everything Ahab wanted, and in the end, he caused their demise, and it destroyed the whole little village they'd created.
I think there's lots of similarities there. And the other thing is, do you know why Trump gave his speech at CPAC behind a podium?
Why is that?
No.
So nobody could see his ivory leg?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly correct. If you look carefully, watch it on C-SPAN again. If you look carefully, you can see it sort of slide out from behind the podium every so often. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think there are some similarities. So, you know what? I talked to somebody about this book the other day, and I was saying, you know, there's some chapters that you really could do without that. You know, it's a very slow book. And you know what this guy told me? He said that this was before television, you know, before radio. He said basically people were bored. So they would put up with chapters like that because they didn't have anything else to do.
So filler wasn't filler. It was to fill the time.
Yeah.
Right.
People were clamoring to get to that really lengthy chapter about, you know, different kind of whales.
Right.
Yeah, that was
so that chapter was basically the 19th century version of Candy Crush. Just something to pass the time.
No, but Candy Crush has levels. You can challenge yourself.
Right, yeah, that's right.
I'm a little bit upset that you know that much about Candy Crush.
Well, Bonnie now has the pandemic excuse, Paula.
Yeah,
she couldn't have been booking
now.
Your shows anyway.
That was years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
but I wanted
so
to say
busy,
one other
so
thing.
So much work.
I wanted to say one other thing about the symbolism. I thought that the fact that Ahab's leg was made out of the bone of a whale's mouth,
jawbone,
was so symbolic. Like, you know, the theory was standing on the bone of a whale's mouth, like dominance. And yet, every time he moved, the whale was getting back at him because Ahab made this loud thud. So he also couldn't escape the dominance of the whale. And that he had that scar.
You're fantastic,
that was,
Bonnie. I feel like Melville has found his audience finally.
No, but that also Ahab had that scar that was like a crucifixion because he'd been like crucified by the whale. I mean, you know, in that way, the writing and the brains behind the writing is really amazing. I did not read the chapters
you
about the
really?
Whale. The, about
you
the
went
science
deep,
of
although
the
I'd have to
you...
say that Jesus' crucifixion scar was not down the side of his face.
Oh, I thought it was.
What was the scar? Really thought this through.
No, wasn't that? No, I thought that was a cross. It was a cross on his cheek, right? That white, mysterious white scar.
Well, you know who can resolve this for us? You know, it might be. You might be right. You know who can resolve this for us is up over in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, Tony.
Tony Anita Hull.
She's Googling right now.
Tony, what's up with your take on these chapters of Moby Dick? I can't believe we're actually discussing the chapters. What did you get from it?
I thought we were still on old business, but that's fine. So I got to be honest with you. I didn't read this week. I did just Google, though.
No, wait, what did you do
same,
this week?
It's not the same, Tony. It's really not the same.
We're not interested in your Googling. What did you do this week?
So I didn't read the book. I was doing some cleaning out of my home because I threw a lot of things in, like, cupboards and drawers when I moved in, you know, because I hate clutter. But as long as it's hidden, I'm fine. So I did that, and then I just found some old, just like my own journals and some old Cosmos that I read through instead.
You found old
Cosmos? Did you learn
Cosmos?
Any tips to drive him wild?
Old Cosmo magazines and some of my old journals and just read those instead.
With like naked pictures of Joe Namath or something? Like how old were they?
No, Joe, I don't.
Broadway Joe tells Namath? All.
Wasn't he some kind of sports player at some point?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He played sports ball in the late 60s.
So, Tony got a cat. So, she doesn't have time to do anything anymore.
It's
and there's
true.
One cat, and all of a sudden, she's constantly busy.
Yeah. All I do is clean up vomit and scoop the litter box constantly. And she's just one. He's a big boy, though. He's 20 pounds, as I've said before. So there's a lot of stuff happening.
Tony told me the cutest. She told me the cutest thing the other day. She said he threw up on Friday night. I said, write that down on your calendar, Tony. The vet's going to need that. The idea that she knew when the cat threw up, I thought was just adorable.
Well, it's kind of a new cat owner thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, because I got to tell you, Tony, after a while, what you notice is when they're not throwing up.
Because that's the best time to pet them.
Yeah, just, you know, your life just becomes one big, like...
He always wants to vomit on soft goods. Like, I have hardwood floors in my home, but he either jumps on the couch to vomit or walks onto the carpet to do it. He can't just vomit on the hardwood.
Yeah, you've got you've got the most average cat that there could possibly be.
That's an aggressively average cat.
That's exactly how they are.
Do you know what I did? I taught him to sit, though.
Really?
What do you mean?
Did you teach him to sit, or did he eventually get bored and just sit?
No, when I tell him to sit, he sits.
Try that right now.
No, he's laying down. He's sleeping.
Well, puff him up.
No.
Oh, are you in that phase of pet ownership where you think, oh, he's sleeping, don't move him? Yeah, that goes away too.
I really wanted to make a breakfast smoothie the other day, but I didn't want to wake him, so I just didn't make one. Because the blender's so loud.
Wow.
That's a big problem right there.
Yeah, yeah, so, I love that. You could not eat for days. Mostly cats do sleep. That's mostly what they do. So keep that in mind.
I know.
Now, let me segue from cats to another mammal known as whales. Paula, do you have anything to say about the chapters we sort of read?
I do. So they're off basically fishing, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I listened to an audio version. So when they started off, you could hear...
Okay. Oh, yeah, fishing music. I get it. Yeah.
Gone fishing. I can't remember. I listened to the book so long ago. I remember the lengthy, unnecessary, describing different kind of whales chapter.
We read that.
I had entirely forgotten the nuances of the scar on Ahab. I remember that he had the whalebone leg that's a little, finicky. And I remember meeting the other characters. But I never would have noticed all the symbolic nuances that Bonnie Burns noticed. I just want to say, since we've been reading Moby Dick, Bonnie has become multi-layered just as a person.
She really has. Her whole, she's just kind of blossomed, I think.
Yeah, that's
it. Under the tutelage of Herman Melville.
So now sometimes when I say to her, sometimes I'll just go, fuck you. And then I go, on a certain level. Because I don't mean like, I don't mean all of, I just mean certain
but on
level.
A very real symbolic level, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah, I hear you.
Could you just go fuck yourself? But I mean that. Let me explain how I mean that. There was something else I was just going to tell you. I think that Tony is doing some critical thinking within her reading where she keeps comparing it to old Cosmos.
Yeah, either that or she's just not reading the book. I will say this, that we had a chapter on whales, and Paula, you asked me, is that stuff accurate? And I got to say, I looked into it, and not only isn't it really accurate, he's outright confessing that this entire scientific chapter on whales isn't really good.
Well, he says it's his own conclusions. He doesn't say that he got it from a scientific source.
In fact, he says that scientists are sort of saying maybe we should classify the baleen whales and the teethy whales differently, but I don't think so. And he also says, scientists are sort of saying that maybe we shouldn't call them fish, but I'm calling them fish.
Yeah, yeah. He's the kind of guy you'd go to for medical advice.
Yeah. And then he'd just be making shit up. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Bonnie Burns, where are we with the t-shirts?
Well, Tony's looking into what they're going to cost us.
I am?
Yeah. Remember
right, our order.
Remember our discussion.
Order. That would be new business. Tony, what is the deal with
forgot.
The t-shirts?
Well, I didn't remember do it.
We're using Bob's rules.
Remember our meeting on Wednesday? Our great meeting?
On Saturday?
Oh, Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Bonnie remembers it as a Wednesday. It was that special to her.
Yes.
Tony, it was the day after the cat threw up. You remember.
Yeah. You know, I think she was busy reading all those headlines in Cosmo, like how to bring a guy to arousal that's the first time you've been with him in bed.
Bonnie, that is...
No, wait.
That is the least plausible Cosmo article title ever.
It wouldn't matter if it was the first time you'd been in bed together.
Bonnie, you were improvising.
Yeah. Right.
No. She's reading that article. This is what drew her attention.
Hold on.
That article with the headline, What Moby Dick Chapter to Read to Make Your Man Wild.
That's a good one.
So
that one's more plausible than Bonnie's.
I know
she's been reading Cosmos, but they've all been, you know, related. You know,
here's one.
Go ahead.
What to wear to work to get that promotion?
That's a good one, Tony.
Yeah,
you're the arbiter of all things Cosmo. Is that a plausible Cosmo article title?
Yeah, definitely.
See. Should you install mirrors in your bedroom?
Nope.
That might be a tip within an article, but that's not. Oh, yeah, that's I can't true. See a whole Cosmo
right.
article on
You're
that.
Right.
I think it says a lot about us that we would prefer to talk about possible Cosmo article titles than Moby fucking Dick.
Yeah, no, Tony. Tony, do you remember that article, Point Ahab Towards Your Equator? Do you remember that article?
What to nail to his mast?
What to say
there
when the harpoon
blows,
comes out?
How to do
out.
It without teeth. we could do this for a long time.
How to get him interested?
We
if
have
he's
to
not.
Do the Cosmo edition of Moby Dick.
Did you say how to get him interested if he's not?
Yeah.
Oh, the answer is chum.
Oh, chum.
Chum. Fantastic. All right. So there we are with all the new business. I want to add that our absentee president, Kevin Nozebnik, remains in Brooklyn, but he wired me this message. Yes,
wait. I have another article from there's the Dear Cosmo, letters.
Oh yeah.
Dear Cosmo, Queequeg doesn't seem to know I'm alive. That Queequeg doesn't Queequeg has eyes for only Ishmael. Oh, gosh.
Here's one about Stub. Right. How to tell your second mate about your first mate.
How to prepare your hard biscuits. That's a...
How to make his biscuits hard. Come on. If I can think like a Cosmo writer, you can too, everybody.
Oh God.
All right. What does Ken say?
Herman Melville's Cosmo. That was a rare edition that Tony has. Herman Melville's Cosmo.
I really think we ought to write more Cosmo titles and make an entire Cosmo edition of Moby Dick.
Or it could be different movies. Yeah. It could be different books.
Yeah. Well, as long as we're reading Moby Dick, let's try to make it germane.
We're going to read Moby Dick
forever.
For the rest of our lives. Yeah.
We're stuck on this voyage. 50 ways to Moby his dick.
I was waiting for it.
Adam, answer the phone.
What? Oh, no. I know what phone. This is about. God damn it. Hello?
Hey, Adam. It's me.
Yes.
It's me, Mike. It's Mike. I'm fond of it, man. That was so fucking great. 50
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, classic, right, Mike?
To Moby's,
yeah.
His dick. I love that. You tell us one.
Tell us what?
Tell us one of the ways.
I'm not going to tell you one of the ways. It was just a suggested title, Mike. I don't want to stay in this territory all that time.
Great, man. It's fucking great. Moby is dick. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I told the joke. I get it, Mike.
Oh, man. I just love you, man. The stuff you say, it just cracks my ass. Honestly, God, it does. It just cracks my ass. Yeah, 50 ways to Moby his dick. That's a lot of ways. Let's just face it. That's a lot of ways.
Yes, Mike, it is a lot of ways.
I thought of like four ways to Moby his dick, but man, you come up with 50 ways. You sure you're not going to
tell me one? Can I hear yours?
One?
No, I didn't really come up with 50, but I'd love to hear.
After the game, when we hang out after the game, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the way. Plus, man, I'm not moving your dick. What are you talking about? You goofy.
What?
Oh, man, you were the best. You were just the best.
Well, thanks for calling, Mike. Me and Paula have to get back to the show.
Wait, you still working with that girl?
Yeah, Paula Poundstone. Name
man,
above the title.
I don't know how you stand that girl. She's such a bitch.
Hey, Mike, we've talked about this before. You will not talk about my co-host, Paula Poundstone, that way.
She doesn't deserve to be able to say Mike with you. She doesn't deserve to read the same novel with you.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, Mike,
all right,
Mike,
I gotta
I'm
go.
Gonna hang up. Okay.
No, man, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Thanks for calling.
I got less stuff I gotta do. All right. I'll talk to you later, man. We'll hang out after the game. Love you. Good talking to you, man. You're a great guy. Great guy. I fucking love that guy. I do.
Okay. Hang up the phone, Mike. Wow.
All right. See ya. See ya, man.
Take care, Mike. If I'm not mistaken, Mike said love you at the end of that conversation.
I do, man. I love you. That's why I said that.
Hang up the phone, Mike.
All right, I'll talk. God. I think I might have butt dialed you. Get it? All right, I'll talk to you later.
I get it? All right. So here's Kenneth Zebnik's opinion. Nailed gold doubloon to main mast of my apartment. Stop. Landlord not happy to have coin nailed to apartment intercom. Stop. Called me the Fulton Frankfurter King. Stop. Oh, I see. It's in telegram form. And,
Yeah, he sent you a telegram.
Yeah, he sent me a telegram. All right. This is troubling on a couple of levels. Number one, Ken got the chapter numbers that we were supposed to read wrong because the nailing to the mast happens in the next chapter, I believe.
Oh, it's foreshadowing. Ken's telegram was foreshadowing.
Yeah. All right. Well, given that, I feel like we're all dicked out at this point. So unless there's any other business, I'm going to call this meeting to a close. Are there any other motions on the floor?
Let's use. Are there motions on the floor? What are you kidding me? You should see me. Adam.
Yes.
I'm writhing. I have a word.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have a word. Great. And then I hereby call this meeting of the book club to a close.
Bob's rules. Adam's using Bob's rules. Yeah.
So, Paula.
Yeah.
Much as I love to hear you noodling around before you sing the vocabulary song, do you have a word?
I do. Oh my gosh, how'd you know? Adam, I have a word. It's insensate. It's an adjective that means lacking sympathy or compassion, unfeeling. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. Some listeners have felt that I am insensate to Tony's Googling problem.
A good use of
it. I'm not. I'm just honest with Tony that she has a Googling Jones. All right,
right.
Let's back it into the vocabulary song. I don't think I've ever played it right, ever.
Nope.
This
sure
week's word is insensate. It's an adjective that means lacking sympathy or compassion, unfeeling. Get up and do all my chores even though you're still healing. Last week's word was assiduous. It's an adjective that means showing or done with thoroughness and great care. Like how I carefully backcomb my hair. The week before that, the word was lubber. It's a noun that means a heavy, clumsy, stupid person. Once you've called a friend that, your relationship may worsen. And going back before that, the word was ubiquitous. It's an adjective that means present, appearing, or found everywhere. So many men are growing facial hair. And not long ago, we had obstreperous. It's an adjective that means noisy and difficult to control. Mo won't stop barking at people when they stroll. Let's never forget Gallimaufry, which Paula Poundstone pronounced wrong until nobody, James Hyder, corrected her. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, replicable, replicable. But I do, I do, I do, I do, I do.
Woo!
Wow.
Oh. Bravo, bravo.
Yeah,
despite the fact that you seem to have slipped into the third person there for the penultimate line of the song, that was a really great rendition.
Where did I slip into?
Gallimaufry. You did it in the third person. Somewhat like the way Miss Nancy did last week. Yeah.
Let's never forget Gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody, James Hyder, corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge. Who's podge?
Who's podge?
Hodgepodge.
Oh, now I feel
you're
like
right.
It's complete.
I did slip into the third person. I do that sometimes now, though, because I just want more respect.
Okay. Well, you know, he does it too. Coming up, Mark Twain said, "Do not undervalue the headache. While it is at its sharpest, it seems a bad investment. But when relief begins, the unexpired remainder is worth $4 a minute." Adjusted for inflation, that's a lot of relief. We'll find out more about headaches. That's next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at Quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your Sleepy Time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're gonna get it anyway,
use our code.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the be-
okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Nice. Now coming to the plate, Paula Poundstone.
On this day in unremarkable history, Chinese Emperor Jin Shi Huang said, and Mexico will pay for it.
Thank you, house band Jim Ross. Hey, Paula Poundstone, you've been trying to figure out what to do about this headache, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They're ubiquitous, headaches are. And yet, I have no, you know, take some Advil, comes back again. I don't know. So... Huh. So,
well, we are fortunate enough to have an expert on headaches on the phone. Dr. Stephanie Nahas is an associate professor at Jefferson University and director of their Headache Medicine Fellowship Program, which is pretty on the nose for your question, Paula. Please welcome Dr. Stephanie Nahas.
Yay!
Welcome, Stephanie.
Welcome, doctor.
I feel like we shouldn't be too loud just in case we give her a... headache. So, yes, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Should we call you Stephanie or should we call you Dr. Nahas? Is it Nahas?
It's Nahas.
Nahas.
At least that's the Americanized version of my name.
Why is it? What's its origins?
It's Lebanese.
Oh, I didn't realize. So yes. should we call you Dr. Thomas?
Actually, it means coppersmith. So if you want to call me Dr. Coppersmith.
Okay. Who just pulled a Danny Thomas Lebanese joke out of the air? I think I did.
Right. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I am impressed.
And that's about all the time we have, but we'd like to thank Dr. Stephanie Nahas for coming down to our show.
Thanks. I'm here all second.
Can you see, Dr. Nahas, why I get a headache? Let me ask you this. How many different causes of headaches, and I mean outside of Adam, do you think there are? I remember there used to be this pain reliever commercial on TV where a woman, you know, for her whole head in the screen looking miserable, and a voiceover talked about a pounding headache and then a throbbing headache and a whole different variety of headache pain descriptions. Honestly, it gave me a headache just watching it. Do you have a list of adjectives for patients to describe their headache pain?
You know what? There are innumerable causes for headaches. There's lots of different types. There's lots of different ways to describe them. And they have lots of different biological and neurological reasons for them. But let's start with the imagery that you just described. This woman who is
got this pounding, throbbing headache, and she's in misery. Oh, woe is me, with her hand to her forehead, and her kids are screaming, and the dishwasher is overflowing. You know, any number of these catastrophes that are having, all because this poor woman is having a headache attack and she just can't deal. She can't function. And you know what? That really underscores one of the things that bothers me about the perception of headache and especially migraine in this country.
Wow.
It's a common condition for humans, but we often use it to blame people for the way that they behave and the way that they can't behave, the way that they maybe can't participate in social activities, in their job, at home, et cetera. There's a huge stigma associated with headache and especially migraine because it is a women's disease. Migraine affects women 3 times more commonly than men.
Wow.
And most commonly affects women of productive age, reproductive age, and of working age.
Oh,
in this country. Yeah. People between the ages of 15 and 49, it's the number one cause of years lived with disability.
Well, they're not all migraines though, right?
No. Migraine is the most common reason that a person goes to the doctor for headache. But the more common, quote, normal headache, a tension-type headache, is what most people are more accustomed to experiencing, the so-called normal headache, the Excedrin headache, the Tylenol headache, right?
Mm-hmm.
Migraine is way more than just a headache. First of all, besides just a side-splitting headache, you have sensitivity to light, sensitivity to noise, odors. You may be nauseated. You may be vomiting from the pain. Your neck may be stiff, your brain may be foggy, you may be blinded by flashing lights and flickering lights in your vision. You may
have entire
numbness.
House of Usher kind of thing happening.
You could be blinded by light. Could you be revved up like a deuce?
Yes.
You in a room in the night, Paula?
We have a whole separate ICD-10 code for that one.
Blinded, but you just can't hear those words and not think of that song.
No, absolutely not.
All right. So, and do they know what causes that?
It's a neurobiologic disorder. It's like, you know, people always ask me when they come to see me in the office, why am I having these headaches? What is the cause? Mm-hmm. You got to do all the tests to find out what is the cause. And I'm like, no, you know, most of the time we don't have to do all the tests. Most of the time, we don't have to do any of the tests.
What?
We just have to talk to you. And if you tell us that your symptoms are consistent with this human experience of migraine, which affects 12% of the population, over 1 billion people on this planet.
Yikes.
We say, yes, you know what? You have migraine. Any number of things might trigger an attack, but the cause is in your biology. Your brain is special. Your brain has the ability to shift into this state, which to me is fascinating, but to you, it's devastating. I get it.
Right.
Because you can't function, you're in pain, you can't look at lights, you can't listen to the TV or the radio. You have to lie down because every single move that you make makes everything worse. Maybe your bowels are rebelling against you.
Yikes.
I mean, all kinds of things. You might be seeing strange things. You might be feeling strange things. Your speech might be off. You might be speaking in nonsensical tongues. Your head may feel like it's on fire. It may feel like somebody's pounding you with a sledgehammer. It might feel like there's a hot poker going through your eye.
Okay. Jesus.
All right. And so they go to you and you say, we're not going to do any tests. All right. And you just say, and basically they just join the club, right? You say, well, we don't have to do the test. You just answer some questions or you just talk to me about it. And then they're in the club and they get a sash and some badges if they get these different symptoms. So what can you do about it then?
Well, there's lots of things we can do about it. But I mean, the first order of business, though, you have to take a very detailed history. You have to do a good physical exam, including testing all the neurologic functions to make sure that nothing is unexpectedly abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is, or if anything that person is telling you about their headache sounds a little weird, then you do need to do tests.
Oh, okay.
Not all of the tests, but you have to pick the correct tests based on what you suspect is going on.
Well, okay, so let's, for the time being anyways, move away from migraines because It's such an ordeal. But what about other kinds of headaches? You know, you were saying that they're in different parts of your head and they're caused for, you know, for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. How do you narrow down the cause, or how does one narrow down the cause?
Or perhaps we should say the diagnosis, the type of headache that it is.
Yeah.
But I think that's what you mean when you say cause.
I didn't go to med school, but I'm happy to say that.
You start with simple questions, you know, again, ascertaining the properties and the qualities and the pattern of the headache.
Sure.
You know, you can ask somebody, are you sensitive to light? Do you have to stop what you're doing? And does it make you sick when you have a headache? If they say yes to two or three of those things, they probably have migraines.
Damn it, you're back to migraines. I saw where you were going. You were slowly circling back around to migraines. You're paid by big migraine. I feel it.
I am. Well, it's mostly what we see.
I'm sure, yeah. Okay. Now, I get headaches from weird things. You know, like I get headaches from crying. From crying a lot, and not that I cry a lot, but on the occasion in which I do. And I also get headaches from not crying. Have you ever heard of that before?
I've heard that, and I've heard more. And, you know, I'm sure in there somewhere there's some joke about saline and psychological instability, but I'll leave the comedy to you.
Oh, well, they're probably...
Well, you know, as author of the big book of saline jokes, I could step in here, but I'm going to not.
But why would that give you a headache, either crying or not crying?
Emotions and emotional factors certainly play in heavily to headache and migraine in particular. I know, paid by big migraine, blah, blah, blah. But I mean,
no,
migraine is mostly what we see in clinical practice. Now, when you speak about crying specifically, crying involves not just emotional circuitry within the brain, but also autonomic circuitry within the brain. The autonomic system is what controls those things we don't think about, like our breathing and our heart rate and the moisture in our skin, how much we might sweat, how the tears in our eyes, how moist our eyes are, how moist our nasal passages are, right? So when we become emotionally charged, then the autonomic nervous system that makes tears turns on, and that's interacting with the emotional circuitry. So, and tearing and sinus congestion and sinus symptoms can be part of headache syndromes too. So when you turn these circuits on, they sort of activate each other and then they can become like reverberating circuits, like this vicious cycle.
So the key is to not do anything with your head. Try to not have your head respond in any way.
I mean, I can cure anybody's headache instantly. I just have to take their head off. This is true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great. What about this? Okay. Have you ever heard of this? I get headaches from constipation. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of people who say I get headaches from all kinds of things.
Uh-oh.
Now, what I might say in your particular circumstances, you might not be getting headaches from constipation. You might be getting constipation from your headache problem.
Oh, snap,
no,
Paula.
Definitely not. Definitely not. It's the other way around. But why are the two related in any way?
Because the headache part of it is just one.
Because you have your head up your ass.
Boy,
here's another very easy solution.
You're welcome, everybody.
Adam, answer the phone. Okay.
We focus on the headache, but that's not when the attack begins. The attack begins when the changes in the brain first start happening.
Right.
The hypothalamus controls some of our basic functions like hunger and sleep and our response to light and dark cycles, etc. So we postulate that at the very beginning of an attack, there are some changes that happen in the hypothalamus, which can lead to some symptoms like yawning or craving certain foods or mood changes, urinating too much, or changes in bowel habits. And so what you might be experiencing is hypothalamic activation in a way that changes your bowel function, but that's just a warning sign that pretty soon, here comes the headache.
Ooh.
And that can be hours to even days later.
Sneaky.
I gotta say, that is a really lousy. It's a really lousy warning sign, because
yeah,
you know,
want
if
it.
You don't know that it's a warning, right? Then, I mean, a warning sign needs to be connected to what we understand. Like, for example, you know, you learn the red light when you're a little kid. But if changes in your digestive system are a warning sign that a headache is coming, that's not a good warning sign.
Well, it's like all those dashboard lights, right? We don't know what they mean.
Right.
We don't know what they mean. All right. An Armenian proverb tells us a pain in the foot is soon forgotten. A pain in the head is not. Stay tuned to find out more about why headaches are memorable. The cat of the week is Tunesis from Sauk Center, Minnesota.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
And we're back with Dr. Stephanie Nahas. Doctor, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm headache free.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Hey, there's a good question. What do you do when you get a headache?
When I get one, I try to resist taking medication because I'm a terrible patient, like most doctors. But I'm also like most people who experience headache. They don't want to have to take something for it because they're afraid they're going to get used to it, or they're going to be taking too much, or somebody's going to yell at them. You know, there are things that you can do to alleviate the attack once it starts. Rest, relax, hydrate. Warm up or cool down, whatever you feel you need to do. Maybe a little self-massage of the neck and shoulders, some soothing aromatherapy. Just, you know, kind of treat yourself, right? And make sure that you're not exposing yourself to anything that's going to make it worse. There comes a point where you have to take some medicine. And that medicine is an individual decision that should be up to you and in consultation with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. I went through a period where I had a headache every day. And then I would take, you know, get up in the morning and take Advil. And then finally I figured out, I forget how many Advil I took a day, but a lot. And I finally figured out that it was the only time I drank water was when I took Advil. And so I just tried as an experiment not taking Advil and just drinking water when I felt a headache instead. And you know what? It worked. I mean, it doesn't mean I never get headaches and I never take Advil. I still do sometimes. But that, like, constant, like, daily problem, I didn't drink enough water. The brain is so damn weird. Is there?
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming you, but the brain is weird.
I don't think she'd think you were blaming her.
No, I'm not blaming you, doctor, but the
didn't
brain.
Sound like you were.
I didn't think so until now, but
now it feels weird.
I feel that you're on the side of the brain, and I feel that most of our brains are against us. Here's a question: how could Ted Kennedy be awake during his brain surgery? If I can get a headache from congestion or loud noise, wouldn't I get a headache from someone poking around inside my brain with sharp tools?
Well, if you were awake while they were getting in there, yes. But the brain itself is what we call insensate. It doesn't sense pain.
Oh, my
brain
gosh.
Itself,
yeah. That's today's vocabulary word.
Oh, my gosh.
What are the chances?
That's bizarre.
It's everything that surrounds the brain and the blood vessels inside the brain that can feel pain. And it's those structures that are sending signals to the brain itself that allow you to perceive the pain. But if you just poke the brain, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to feel it. You might have other symptoms.
So
let's get
back to Ted Kennedy. Yeah. I mean, you name it, because the brain does everything. So for somebody like Ted Kennedy, who had a brain tumor, they had to operate on it. It was in a part of his brain that was nearby structures that could subserve speech and understanding of speech.
Oh, I remember this now. Yes.
Reading, motor function, sensory function, etc. So when you have somebody that you need to operate on them, but the place that you have to operate on is what we call high-priced real estate. What you want to do is you put them to sleep, you open them up while they're anesthetized so they don't feel all of that cutting of the skin and drilling through their skull and sawing the bone open.
Not fun.
Once you get everything exposed, though, you can wake them up, and then you can start to try to operate on them, take out the tumor, or do whatever it is.
But you keep talking to them, right? And so Teddy was saying things like, now I can't feel my arm.
Right.
My arm has
no
feeling.
So you have him, read 4 score and 7 years ago, you just have him reading that while you're doing that. And as soon as he goes, blah, 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 all right, we need to stop.
Yeah, then you've touched on the bad communication part.
And let me just say, blah, blah.
Wow. Yes. Again, the brain is just plain weird. Hey, do animals get headaches?
It's funny that you ask that, because we postulate that maybe they do. There was many years ago, a colleague in the field had postulated that her dog was experiencing migraine attacks based on the behavior of the dog. Because when they get a migraine attack, they want to retreat. They want to stop being active. They don't want to be bothered with light or noise or sound. And this doctor's dog, this woman's dog, would just sometimes all of a sudden go into this state. And it was postulated that maybe that happens. And so we think that, just like dogs and cats, they can get maladies similar to what humans experience. Mm-hmm. They can become depressed. They can become anxious. I mean, we know this is true. Maybe they get migraine as well. We just can't talk to them. And that's part of what's difficult in doing research in headache and migraine is you don't know when a lab rat is having a migraine attack. They're already sensitive to light. They can't vomit because they're just physically incapable of doing it. So you can't really test them. And this is why you have to open up their brains and put electrodes in there and read their brain signals.
I mean, you absolutely
while
have
doing
to.
Things to them. Yeah, you actually have to for animals, and you have to measure the chemicals and see what's happening with their blood vessels. And this is how we learn about what we think is going on in the brain during migraine.
Wow. And do a lot of rats want to remain awake while you do the, it's like Ted Kennedy?
I think exactly zero of them do.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this.
I can't smell cheese anymore. If there's, I see the cheese, but I can't smell it. Maybe stop that.
How do you, I have to tell you that your Kennedy rat is a little more like FDR rat.
What?
We have nothing to fear but unnecessary cranial surgery.
All politicians are rats.
So when headaches are in a different part of your head, does it mean different things?
Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, for example, there are certain headache and facial pain syndromes where the pain tends to be in a specific location. There's a nerve in the back of your head called the occipital nerve. And when that gets inflamed or irritated, you tend to have pain right at the back of your head, and it shoots forward over the top and towards your eye. And if you touch that part of the back of your head, it makes the pain get worse.
Yeah.
Migraine can be anywhere. Tension type headache can be anywhere. You know, the location doesn't always help us, but sometimes the location does mean something. It might mean that there's a pinched nerve in the neck. For example, in the upper part of the neck, if there's a pinched nerve, you tend to have pain in the forehead and the eye. If it's in the middle or the lower part of the neck that you have a pinched nerve, the pain tends to be more in the back of the head. So sometimes the location helps us, but not always.
I'll tell you where location is very important is business. Location, location, location,
location. Yeah.
High-priced real estate.
All right. Here, I have one more question, which is, what is the best way to cure a common headache?
Well, now define common headache for me.
Damn it. You're taking the brain side again.
Let's say attention headache, maybe, because it sounds like that's a very common headache.
Okay. All right.
The most common headache is going to be tension type headache.
Okay.
Where it's just pressure. It's all over the head. It might have a slight throbbing character to it, but it generally doesn't interfere with function. You don't feel sick to your stomach, sensitive to light, noise, and all that other business.
Okay. Mine has a samba beat. Is that helpful?
If you're into that, yeah. So,
you might just want to ask Tito Puente to either pay the rent or move out.
Yes. You just want to treat yourself. Whatever makes you feel good, you do it.
But what's your recommendation?
Typically, something that you can get over the counter, you know, a simple analgesic, as we call it, some kind of just garden variety painkiller, like acetaminophen, ibuprofen, naproxen, et cetera. That's typically first line treatment for these common garden variety tension type headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tension type headache can get to the point where it's bothersome and it needs more expert advice, because you can't be taking those kinds of things more than 2 or 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll get into what we call rebound headache. And that, when you realize that maybe I should just drink water instead of drinking water and also taking an Advil, mm-hmm. you probably were addressing two problems at once. Number one, you weren't drinking enough water. Number two, you were taking too much Advil and giving yourself rebound headaches from overexposure to the mm-hmm. Advil. That's just a theory. That's just a possibility.
Yeah.
And see that happen so much, where people just, they start eating this stuff like candy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to tell them, look, stop the madness. You just have to, it really is stop.
You have to get off that cycle.
It's not working, right? So why do you keep doing it? Just cut it off. And that can be very difficult for somebody to do. And that's when we have to shepherd them through the process of dealing with that headache attack in different ways, that they're not always reaching to swallow a pill or to do something more healthful for themselves. It's also important to re-examine what your lifestyle is, what your environment is, and see what you can tweak and tune to make it more healthful. Improve your diet, improve your hydration, exercise more regularly, make sure you're getting good relaxation activities, recreational activities, make sure that you're not hunched over at the computer for 8 to 10 hours a day.
You doctors are always like, take better care of yourself and you'll feel better.
Yeah,
so annoying,
honestly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they've got a lot of nerve.
That's
she's totally on the side of the brain. I just feel
it. Well, as a neurologist, I have to have a lot of nerve.
Neurology joke.
Well, this was so helpful. Thank you very, very much.
Dr. Stephanie Nahas. Now, thanks for clearing this up, but we now have to take that information that you've given us and run it through the old Pouncetonator, which is a very complex machine, not unlike the brain. Paula?
All right, Maestro James Ross, our house band on the French horn tonight. Can you and my oldest friend in the world, can you give us some background music? And I will tell you what the old Pouncetonator spit out. Patient, I have a terrible headache. Doctor, is it a pounding kind of a headache pain? Patient, no, it's more of a... Doctor, is it a squeezing kind of a pain? Patient, no. Doctor, is it like a wah-wah pain? Does it come in waves? patient. No, it's just one solid pain. Doctor, is it behind your eyes? Patient, one eye really fucking hurts. Doctor, is it on one side? Patient, yes, one side, from the back of my head all the way forward. Doctor, did it come on gradually or all at once? Patient, all at once, just like shoop, boom, fucking killer headache. Doctor, maybe it was environmental. What were you doing at the time? Patient, I was catching a javelin. Doctor, well, that explains that pole going through your head. Patient, so I did catch it.
She is an associate professor in the Department of Neurology at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia, PA, and director of the Headache Medicine Fellowship Program. Dr. Stephanie Nahas, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Yay!
It was wonderful.
Stephanie, thank you.
And Dr. Nahas, this was so helpful. I'm sure that nobody's are going to get a lot of pain relief from this. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. And thank you again so much for having me. It's an honor to have this opportunity to speak to the nation.
There they are.
Or some of the nation.
And Moldova.
Coming up, mailbag personal hygiene edition. Nobody thinks they know who was in the shower with Bonnie Burns. Let's find out if they were right. That's coming up right after this. Fun fact, men are 23% more likely to be left-handed than women, and 86% more likely to think that fact is interesting. Hey, everybody, it's time for Mailbag Personal Hygiene Edition. This is a pretty exciting thing for me.
Wait,
we just came back, Bonnie. You want me to wait?
No, I know. But I thought it would be cool if we had a theme song for this.
For the personal hygiene edition of Mailbag?
Yeah. That wasn't it.
Mailbag.
So I have one. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
If it's going to supplant Paula's theme, I'm all ears.
Okay. Here it is.
Mailbag.
Get ready. I have to cue it up.
Come, let's practice good hygiene.
Let's keep our bodies clean.
We will all be so happy.
What the hell was that, Bonnie?
Didn't you hear it? Let's practice good hygiene.
It sounded like happy Japanese cartoon music.
Did you hear the lyrics?
I couldn't really hear the lyrics. But it did sound like it was something from a Speed Racer episode. The cartoon that you got it off of?
Here.
Did the mouths move at the same time as the song?
Okay, wait. Try it again. Here, I'll sing along. Okay. Come, let's practice good hygiene. Let's keep our bodies clean. We will all be so healthy.
I don't know on what planet you decided this would be a useful addition to our show, but God damn it, Bonnie.
What I really want to know is, Bonnie, how did you come across that song?
How did I find it?
Yeah.
I Googled.
You Googled songs about hygiene?
Yeah.
And then thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to play it over my phone for Paula and Adam as a theme song.
No, in editing, we'll make it probably better quality.
Oh, I'm going to tell you now, in editing, it's still going to suck. I want to stick with our old theme song, Mailbag.
Oh, wait, hold on. I put it aside for...
Because this is our new theme song for our new edition. Mailbag. Hygiene edition.
Yeah, it was a... You know, what would have been great, I think, Bonnie, is when you listened to the song, if it had inspired you to bathe. That would be good. Just, you listen to the song and then you jump in the shower. I think that was the purpose of the song when they wrote it, not...
Not let me play this for
Paula. Our theme song.
Okay, now, moving forward, because God knows we have to. Mailbag. Hygiene edition. Nobody's wrote us about Captain Crinkle and her shower partners, but we're going to start with what nobody, Allison G, termed our most concerning euphemism. Tony Nidoho, I don't know what you mean by that. Would you share that?
Of course. So this is when Bonnie was in the Trader Joe's parking lot recording the show from there.
Right.
So this was Allison's most concerning euphemism. Paula said Bonnie is, quote, making guacamole in the, quote, back seat. I just want Bonnie to know that her, quote, guacamole may not be precious to the world, but it should be precious to her.
Okay, so the implication here is that Bonnie was using making guacamole as a metaphor, as a euphemism for something else.
Yeah.
That I had diarrhea?
No.
Wow, but thank you for going there.
I think more sexual than that.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I don't think that Allison G would have thought that your diarrhea may not be precious to the world, but it should be precious to you.
I just don't think
that's where Allison G was going with that. That's just one man's opinion.
I agree with Adam.
Tony, will you just for a moment play the part of Allison G?
Okay.
Just kind of, you know, do that. Do a couple of acting warm-ups if you need to, Tony, but get into that role and follow Paula's directions. All right, so
Tony Anita Hall is now playing the role of nobody, Allison G. Allison, answer the phone.
Hello, this is Allison G.
Hey, Allison, man, this is me, my Bubba Buffett. Get it? Guacamole in the back seat? Get it? Oh, man, that's so... fucking funny. She's making guacamole. It's precious to her. Yeah. Oh, man. You know what, Allison? You know, I tell you what. I'll take your address off the call.
Do we get to hang out after the game, Mike?
And scene. Let's hear it for Tony Anita Hall for playing Allison G so ably in that scene.
Yeah. I gotta go, Allison. Allison G, I'll take your phone number and your address off the call. Thanks for having me. Oh my God, guacamole in the backseat. Get it?
Hopefully I can meet you behind the bleachers after the game, Mike.
Ooh. Oh man, we'll make Dippin' Dots. All right, I gotta go. Cool, Allison.
Bye, Mike.
I'm pretty sure Mike just said he'd make Dippin' Dots. I don't want to even think about that. All right, so moving on because I feel we need to. So there's this one concern about Captain Crinkle's personal hygiene, but there's more. Nobody's have theories about the Broadway star Bonnie Burns, famously on this show, showered with. But she cannot reveal the name of this mysterious clean friend. So what do you got, Tony?
Yeah, so Phil in Minnesota wrote, after analyzing all the clues that Bonnie has been dropping, there can only be one possible answer to the identity of her shower buddy. It has to be Harold Lipschitz. Of course, we all know him better by his stage name. Pause while Tony Anita Hall Googles it. I did Google it. It's Hal Linden. It also explains why he changed his name when there's really no way to improve upon Lipschitz. My guess is that he only assumed another identity after rumors of the Burns Lipschitz dalliance began circulating. I know I would have. Let me say one more time, just because it's fun to say, Lipschitz.
Oh, Bonnie?
Now, Bonnie, we know that. I want to say that if it turns out this is true, I already suggested that it might be Hal Linden.
Hal Linden is so handsome.
Absolutely. Did you shower with Hal Linden?
He's an ass. I worked with him once. Sorry, Hal.
I love him.
Is he dead?
Barney Miller was a great show.
It
such
is.
A funny yeah. show. Wow. I thought they were going to guess my guess, which is Zero Mostel.
Yeah, Zero Mostel was really insulting. Old in the 90s, if he was even alive.
That was insulting. No, Hal Linden was used to being a big star, and so I think he was a little more used to being catered to than I like.
So that's why you kicked him out of your shower.
He kind of had an ego. He sort of had a big ego. So he would not be my type. Is he dead?
So Bonnie
He's
gave him
dead.
A moist. Bonnie gave him a moist towelette and tell him to keep walking.
All right, so it wasn't Hal Linden. Phil, thanks for writing in, but I'm sorry. Your guess is wrong, and so you do not win today's prize.
That was a good
He's
guess,
too angular.
Phil.
He's too angular for me.
Oh, he's really good
you
looking.
Like him
he's
plump.
Really great in Barney Miller.
He is really
young
good.
Young people, if you have not seen Barney Miller, find it somewhere. It's a great show. It never got all the credit it was due. It was a really great show.
And on that same topic, Bonnie, was the guy in the shower Abe Vigoda? I think that's all I need to ask
well,
tonight.
He's a lot less angular. No.
That's for sure. All right. Tony, what else you got? We're here for mailbag.
Oh, damn it. Wait.
Mailbag.
Wait. It's not time. All right, go ahead.
Tony, what else do you have here for us on mailbag? Hygiene edition.
You know what that is? You know what this is?
This just in. Tony Nina Hall.
No.
Keep doing
no,
that,
No, this
Paula.
Is Ooh. this is hygiene edition.
I knew it.
It's
yeah, but
the
do you
sound
want to just keep doing that fast and rhythmically? Just keep going.
It's shower droplets.
Oh, I like it as a news thing, though. This just in. Tony Nita Hall has a new thing for mailbag. Tony?
I'm just waiting.
She's not going to stop. I've been waiting for 2 years now. Mailbag edition.
Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead, Tony. Okay. Let it rip. Mailbag.
Okay.
I did. And
okay.
Mailbag. This just in, Tony Nita Hall has stalled out in her reading of the Mailbag Hygiene Edition. For more on this, we'll go to Tony Nita Hall. Tony Nita Hall, what is the problem?
Yeah, so there's a theory that's really wishful thinking. God damn it, Paula.
All right, go ahead. Tell us about the theory, Tony. Go ahead. Tell us about the theory.
I don't trust you at all.
That's my theory theme song. Whereas this is personal hygiene. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay. Bonnie received a very kind email from one of our nobodies in the book club who wrote, I was just sitting reading Moby Dick, and what inexplicably popped into my mind, but who your Broadway 90s hunk might be. I so hope it was Michael Norrie. I know you can't respond. I just like thinking that's who it was, regardless of how wrong my guess might be.
Wow, Michael Norrie. He's from.
I don't know who
he's
that
been on
is.
Everything. He was on a lot of TV shows and stuff, like The OC, and he was on that show my friend was on Damages. He's a handsome actor, and
he is.
I don't know those shows because I watch Breaking Bad, and Columbo, and Perry Mason, and Dick Van Dyke.
He was in Flashdance.
Yeah, he was in Flashdance,
didn't you?
He was Victor Victoria.
He was the boyfriend that she keeps slapping?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
we reviewed that movie together, Paula, just last year.
I remember. Boy, Boy, Michael Norrie can pick them.
And not only that, I know Michael Norrie.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's a super nice guy, but Bonnie Burns, I have to know, if you don't tell me honestly, Michael will, is the man you showered with Michael Norrie?
He is not, but he is a lot closer than Hal Linden. Or Zero Mostel, or Abe Sapoda.
You know, Zero Mostel is my favorite.
At least we're getting closer.
There's only one way to tell if Michael Norrie was the man that Bonnie showered with. Bonnie, could we please see your sweatshirt?
I don't even know what we're doing here. Mailbag.
Well, Michael Norrie was in Victor Victoria on Broadway in the 90s.
Yes. Well, so you've just Googled him.
She seems to know an awful lot about Michael Norrie, doesn't she?
I will absolutely ask Michael about that.
No, it's not Michael Norrie.
I'll be the judge of that.
Closer. That's pretty closer. But not
it's closer. Okay, so nobody's, if you're out there guessing about the 80s and 90s star who was also a Broadway star who Bonnie showered with, and then, let's remember, left the shower, went to bed, and then left the bed to go outside because of a gas attack.
Which could have been, by the way, you know, that gas attack, Bonnie, could have been a warning sign that a headache was coming.
A migraine.
Paul, Tony, just so I can make this Glockenspiel go away, tell me that's all we have on Mailbag.
You know what? That's all we have for Mailbag. Hygiene.
Okay, so that wraps up this week's edition of Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Hygiene edition.
Come, let's practice good hygiene. We will keep our bodies clean and we'll be healthy.
I can't believe I have to manage this idiocy every week.
Off the all right. Rails.
Paula. Calgon, yeah, take me away. Tell me what's going on in the Poundstone product empire this week.
Well, I've been practicing good hygiene and keeping my body clean, if that means anything to you. I'll tell you what's going on, Adam.
Yes.
Come on, practice good hygiene. Keep our bodies clean. You know, once you really get rocking out to it, it's kind of pleasant. Come on, everybody now. Come and practice good hygiene.
Good hygiene. We will keep our bodies,
clean.
And we'll be healthy.
Gosh.
Healthy.
And we will be with Zero
healthy.
Mostel. All right.
We will all be so healthy. We will all
right.
be
okay.
so healthy.
I got one more guess. George C. Scott.
Oh, now
well,
that
that's quite possible. He was 90 in the 90s.
But
Bonnie, show me.
Like
let me
idea.
Just take a moment of. Let me see a Family Feud moment here. Bonnie, show me George C. Scott. Oh, I'm sorry, Paula. You do not win that car.
It's ironic that she showered with a guy from the Dirty Dozen. Come and practice good hygiene. We will keep our bodies clean. All right. That leads me to my next guest, Telly Savalas. Come and practice good hygiene.
I got you, baby.
We will keep our bodies clean. Oh, I remember seeing you with a lollipop that time. Oh, I win. I'll tell you, Adam.
All right. Wait, hold on a second, Paula. Paula?
Yeah.
So, Telly Savalas, an actor from Dirty Dozen, also popularly from Kojak. Bonnie just got his catchphrase wrong. It was, who loves you, baby, not I got you, baby. But let's see if he is the celebrity that Bonnie Burns showered with back in the 90s. Bonnie, survey says? Oh, I'm sorry, Paula Poundstone. That's two strikes now, and I wonder whether you're going to have enough points to get onto the bonus round, but once again, not Telly Savalas, not George C. Scott.
You know, I've never seen the show.
You're down
Family
to your last
Feud.
Strike, so you should make this one count.
I've never seen the show Family Feud. Do they, like, if you get all the answers wrong, do you have to switch family members? Is that a thing?
Yes, you do. But you do only get three strikes. So you're down to your last guess as to who your manager and good friend and our producer, Bonnie Burns, showered with in the 90s. Broadway actor Paula, for all the marbles, because this is take it or leave it. I'm afraid you've got your entire family counting on you. What is your final guess?
Okay, this one's going to sound kind of crazy.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
All right, I'm just going to say it. William Frawley. Was it William Frawley?
William Frawley. William Frawley. A good guess. Wait a minute. You don't. You wait till I do that stupid thing. William Frawley is a popular stage entertainer. He was dead long before the 90s. In fact, he died in the 60s. Bonnie Burns, in the 90s, did you shower with dead William Frawley? Survey says... Oh, I'm sorry, Paula Poundstone.
No, don't you remember what he said to you? I'm coming back for one more shower, honey bunch.
Oh my God. You know, I would say that we ran off the rails, but this show has never had any rails to speak of.
Oh my gosh.
I really want all of us to go on the Family Feud together as one family.
I found that too. We'd be great.
That would really be fun. And I think that we're really America's family.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
I think people think of us the way they used to think of the Brady Bunch. You know, we're just America's family.
Yep. Paula, do you have anything going on in the Poundstone product empire this week?
Okay, the way they thought of the Brady Bunch in that episode where Marsha couldn't stop Googling and Carol kept showering with strange men, that kind of America's family.
Yeah, that's what makes us America's family, because we do that.
Yeah, we really are. We really are America's family. I'll tell you something, Adam. Poundstone Industries is wowing the business world. At the store at paulapoundstone.com, listeners can find Poundstone Pussy Pillows, the 4-inch by 5-inch catnip filled pillows with a cat joke on one side and autographed to your cat on the other side. Plus, the Poundstone Pussy Pillow, every cat's favorite, has a grommet through the top so you can attach a string and drag it for Bobo, Randall, or Fluffy. Listeners can also go to cameo.com/PaulaP33 and order a video message from me to anyone you want. And keep in mind, I'm part of America's family. Heidi.
Well, I'm part of America's family, too. And remember that you can catch me on the Stereo app every week doing the Starburn Sports simulcast with comedian Jeff Cesario, who is just amazingly funny. We just did the NBA All-Star Game. We're doing pro golf. You don't want to miss this, because how else are you going to be able to get through pro golf? All
honestly.
Right, subscribe. Subscribe to this podcast. It's free. You'll get it every week at no charge. And if there's a subject or topic that you'd like to know more about, tell us. We're at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Once again, that's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Special thanks to our guest, Dr. Stephanie Nahas. And yay! Thanks to our house band, Jim Ross. Paula's old friend, Jim Ross. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, who's Jim's old friend. Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hall. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by the inimitable Land Romo. Transcription services for the show provided by Transcribe Me, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
We really are America's family.
We really are. You know, my friend Jim Ross is a world-renowned French horn player, and he's the conductor of the Alexandria Orchestra, and he's Maestro James. And I'm wondering if he's going to be able to play for us the...
No, I think...
The mailbag personal hygiene song.
No, I think that's probably a little bit above his skill level. I mean, Paula, you make it sound so easy, but...
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. When you're good at something, people don't realize all the hours of practice that go into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like there's no practice at all that went into this.
So I've really pulled off that feeling,
yeah,
right?
Total success.
Yeah. But in fact, hours and hours and hours. Personal hygiene.
I now have one more possible cause of headaches.
A podcast network.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.